Welcome to this Steadyham podcast. I'm Scott Ronalds, joined as usual with Tom Bradley. In today's session, we're going to review our quarterly report, which we sent to clients last week, and which is posted to the website simultaneously with this podcast. Tom's also going to touch a little bit on our three-year performance. Steadyhand just celebrated its third anniversary as a company in the past quarter, and we'll touch on some of those highlights. Tom, over to you.
Well, Scott, when you look at that 3 years in its entirety, you might miss what's happened in between April 10th, 07, when we opened our doors, and today. Certainly, if you just look at the numbers, bond returns probably about 5% per year over that time. Canadian stocks, pretty unremarkable, about flat. And then, of course, foreign securities provided negative returns, partly because of the loonie, but also partly because of the foreign markets weren't as good as Canada's market. All of that, nothing to write home about, but of course the road to getting there was much bumpier and much more intriguing along the way. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I thought we should first step back and look at what Steadyhand is trying to accomplish when we talk about investment returns. And certainly, you know, when we think about long-term returns, we've designed the company to do two things. Number one is beat the competition, and specifically the indexers out there that are so in vogue today. At the end of the day, we want our clients to have better returns than the clients of other firms. Second thing we want to do is provide a steadier pattern of returns. And we talk a lot about absolute returns. We know our funds are going to go down from time to time, but we want to have a little smoother path along the way. So that's certainly part of our design. So have we done so far? Well, overall, I'd have to say we're disappointed with the level of returns in the 3 years that we've been in operation. We talk a lot about absolute returns, and in the environment we've had, the market environment we've had, we just haven't been able to deliver significant returns. If we use our balanced clients as a measure, and there's a whole variety of different types of balanced clients, different asset mixes and different times they came into the firm, but if we use that as a measure over the 3 years that we have a record, we'd see that they range on either side of 0% return per year. The more aggressive equity-oriented investors in this penalizing risk environment, certainly 07 and 08, would be slightly negative, maybe a couple of percent, whereas the more conservative income-oriented investors were positive a couple of percent per year through that period. Against our toughest competitor, the indexes and index low-cost index investors, we eked out a small win over the 3 years, and just as importantly, did it in a little less volatile way. We didn't go down quite as much in 08 and didn't obviously capture as much of the upside in 09. Now, Scotty, before I turn it back to you to talk about the funds, let me just give our listeners an overview on sort of where we stand in positioning our clients' portfolios. We've really been focusing on two things over the last few months. One is we've been talking about the importance of an investor's long-term asset mix, or sometimes called strategic asset mix. And that's just something that we're going to talk about forever. We just think everybody's starting point when they're making investment decisions should be that mix, because that's their best guess at what's going to work for the portfolio over the long term. The second thing we've been talking about is more temporary and is more fine-tuning relating to that mix. We just think that people should be a little cautious right now. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't want investors to get too carried away with last year's returns, which were so good, or today as we speak, the rising loonie and getting carried away with how great Canada is. We think investors should be at their long-term mix and maybe slightly to the cautious side. And the reason that I've trumpeted caution over the last number of months is, number one, we think valuations in the market are less compelling than they were a year ago. I'm talking about stocks and corporate bonds. I'd call the valuations reasonable, but certainly not outstanding. Second thing I watch is investor sentiment, how bullish or bearish people are. And I do worry a little bit on this measure that we're getting into a little more risk-taking than I feel comfortable with, and so it makes me a little cautious. And then the third thing that I would highlight is just the debt overhang that we have in our economy. I've dubbed it sort of the great debt reckoning that is coming at us. We've transferred a lot of debt from banks, bankrupt banks, if you will, and overextended homeowners over to the taxpayer, the government. But now we have to deal with all of that. And I think that's really going to put a damper on profit growth. economic growth generally, and I think it's something we've got to blend in with our view of the market as far as valuation and sentiment. So we want people very close to their long-term asset mix. We see no reason to stray, but if they want to tilt it any one way, we'd suggest they go a little towards the cautious side at this point. Scott, why don't we drill in a little bit into the four funds that we're going to talk about today?
Well, we'll start with the income fund, and we're not going to get too detailed here, but rather touch on some of the key messages from the quarter. The fund had a great year. It was up 26% roughly over the past year and up 3.5% in the quarter. A lot of that is attributable to the performance of corporate bonds, which had really a breakthrough year last year, and dividend-paying stocks and trusts, which also bounced back pretty significantly. Now, in the quarter, the manager of the fund, and that's Connor Clark and Lund, they eliminated the U.S. high-yield position, which was about 15% of the fund. They did feel that was those securities were getting expensive, so they sold them. Now, that also brought down the overall corporate weighting of the fund as a result, but CCNL is currently looking at opportunities to redeploy that cash in some corporate bonds. Also in the quarter, they reduced the duration of the fund and brought down the average term to maturity a little bit in anticipation that the Bank of Canada is going to raise short-term interest rates, and that's a bit of a defensive measure against that. Now, CCNL is also finding opportunities in small and mid-cap real estate securities, both REITs and corporations. We highlight one of these in the report, and that's Killam Properties, if investors want to read a little further on that. But they do like what they see in that market, and they have increased the real estate exposure in the income equity portion of the fund. Speaking of that income equity portion, that still makes up roughly 30% of the fund, and it has added to the fund's yield and acted as a good diversifier for the portfolio over the past 3 years. The overall yield of the fund has fallen a little bit to 4.5%. If you remember, it was north of 7% going back about a year and a half. So it has come down, but it still does represent a good yield boost over a benchmark Government of Canada 10-year bond. Let's turn now to the equity fund. This fund gained about 23% over the year. Its performance was impacted in part to the rise in the loonie, which has really been soaring lately. It was up over 10% on the euro and the pound in the quarter, and up over 20% on the U.S. dollar over the past year. So really a hot loonie has dampened some of those returns in the fund, given that it does hold about 40% of its investments in U.S. and overseas stocks. We don't have much new to report in terms of the makeup of the portfolio or transactions during the quarter. CGOV's focus remains on higher quality businesses. We've emphasized this in the past, but that's really where their focus remains. In terms of activity, they did eliminate Nintendo in the quarter. They had concerns over management and sales growth, so they did get rid of that stock. And they added Oracle, which is a U.S.-based software company. And again, they feel it's a good time to be adding to U.S. positions right now, given where the dollar's at. And for investors who are interested in a little more color on the portfolio and the fund, we would encourage you to tune into a podcast that Tom did with Don Cranston back in February, and that's available on steadyhand.com. Tom, I'm going to pass it over to you now for some comments on the Global Fund and Small Cap Fund.
Scott, your comments about currencies certainly impacted the Global Equity Fund as well. It was swimming upstream when it came to battling a rising loonie, but nonetheless, over the last year, it's up just under 30%. It's had a really terrific performance in the context of what's going on in the global markets. And that's helped chew back some of the losses from 08, particularly when the fund was hard hit. Now, you remember that this fund made a dramatic change in late 08 and 09, getting more growth-oriented and more economically sensitive to capture some of the upside of the market. And as I've just said, it did that well. Today, it sits much more in a neutral position. There isn't any big theme in the portfolio, resources, commodities, growth, value. It's really a good blend of different strategies and stocks. And I think any changes we see going forward will be more evolutionary and really driven by stock-specific reasons as opposed to a big theme in the market. Edinburgh Partners, our manager here, is seeing good value in financial and technology stocks. Those two sectors make up about 40% of the fund, roughly 20% each. And I guess the most interesting feature maybe of this last quarter or so has been the increasing focus on Japan. It now makes up 16% of the fund, up about 10% from a year ago. Again, that's very much stock-by-stock specific, but when you add it all up, we're getting more exposure to export-oriented manufacturers, names like Sony, Fujitsu, and recent addition, Kojima, which is a building contractor, a little down and out right now, not making any money, but a leader in its business. And I guess Kojima sort of sums up what we've dubbed ugly but cheap. And that is just the fact that some of the stocks we're buying really do look pretty rugged right now, but Edinburgh Partners deems them to be excellent value. So I guess in summary, when we think about our partners in Scotland and how they work, this is very much business as usual, seeking out value in a very disciplined way, not worrying about the headlines about Japan's economy or anything, just trying to find cheap securities to make our clients money. Now, for global equity funds running against the grain, I'd have to say the same about our small cap equity fund. As many of you know, we've had a performance gap over the last year as it hasn't kept up with a red hot small cap market. That's mostly been the factor related to resources, gold stocks, energy stocks, mining, which have been on a tear, and many of them have been up many times over. And this fund is very much focused on higher quality, I'd almost have to call them boring stocks, and they just haven't kept up with the market surge to the same degree. Clearly, Will Witherich is going to stick to that strategy. He feels very comfortable with these kinds of stocks in the market ahead. And while he's done some fine tuning, he sold Hang Feng Evergreen, the specialty fertilizer company. He added to McDonald Detweiler and Glacier Media. He's going to stick to the strategy he's pursued over the last couple of years. I'd encourage, if you want more detail, to listen to either the podcast that we did with Will just about a week ago, or about 3 weeks ago we did a blog after a meeting I had with Will in Montreal when we thoroughly reviewed his portfolio and his strategy. So if you want more detail, I'd encourage you to go there. Scott, do you want to wrap up?
Well, let's sign it off there. We once again thank everyone for listening. And just as a reminder, all of our podcasts are available on iTunes or on the blog page of steadyhand.com.